Basketball. We got a lot of stuff. But we got about 50 pounds a show that we're going to try to cram into a 30-pound bag. But every day at 5 o'clock, we do a little something called the Five Sides at 5. And the way this works, we got the big stories. We got the big juicy stories, NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals. You got your local stuff with the Clemson stuff we're going to get into. And there's some side stories out there, too. There's lots of other things going on in the sports world. And our guy Diesel is going to get us caught up right about now.
Story number one, Kyrie Irving has split with his agent and seems to be eyeing Roc Nation.
Oh, okay. This is big news. Do you have an agent, Diesel?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
No.
I should probably get one.
Hey. I don't think they accept clients who make thousands.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah,
you have to get up into the high upper hundreds of thousands at least.
Yeah,
I think,
because 10% of thousands is hundreds.
And, they don't want that.
They don't want that. Yeah. So, I guess. Yeah, I'd love to get an agent. I think Ryan has one. I think Mark Ryan might have one. I don't know.
Wow.
I think he does. Yeah, Mark Ryan's, he's big time.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he, though?
He is big time.
Okay.
You listen to his show, Lonzo says he's big time all the time. Like he comes from
Lonzo
Houston.
Lonzo says he's a big something, but it's not big time.
Yeah, that's true.
I've never heard that word.
Yeah, I'm hanging out with Miggity Mark Ryan tonight. I can't wait.
Oof.
We're gonna rip Greenville apart tonight. It's going to be good. And then we're going to come into work struggling tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow's Friday. Well, we still have to work tomorrow, huh?
That's right, we do.
Hey, that's why we do afternoon
drive.
Don't
get too wasted when it's free.
Hey, exactly. Hey, that's why I do afternoon drive, Diesel. Kyrie Irving switching agents. And why is this a big deal? Because he's going with Jay-Z's company. Where's Jay-Z from? Brooklyn. It all kind of ties in. He's lining up with Jay-Z, lining up with his agency. I'm telling you guys, Kyrie Irving is going to be a Brooklyn Net next year. I think it's pretty much game
done
set
deal.
Match. It's a done deal. Yeah, it makes sense for him. The Knicks, why would you go there? Because you're just going to lose and you're going to have more pressure. You can go to the Nets and you
still be in New York.
Still be in New York. Still be the man. And we talked about this the other day. There's something cool about Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And there's something that could be really cool about Brooklyn if they can land two max free agents. And like,
especially with the rumors of Kevin Durant.
Yes.
You know, seeing a Nets doctor.
Yeah, I think you have that too. Yeah, I remember we had that yesterday, that he got the surgery from the Nets doctor. So a lot of things point, and that was kind of early. The rumors were that they were going to go to the Knicks together, and then lately there's been steam that they might go to the Nets together, and now it looks like the evidence is pointing towards the Brooklyn Nets.
Story number three. Kemba Walker says he'd be willing to take less than a Supermax deal to stay in Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why?
This isn't like Tom Brady taking a cut because he's with the Patriots and he's going to win another Super Bowl. This is, and we would love it if Kemba Walker, if he stayed in Charlotte, it would be great. But I just, really? He's taking it. Why would he take a pay cut? Is he trying to attract other free agents to Charlotte?
Does he just love that delicious Charlotte food?
I don't know. What do they have in Charlotte besides Bojangles?
That's about it.
Yeah, and I love Bojangles.
I do too.
Yeah.
But it's really not conducive if you're a world-class athlete.
No, it's not. No. It's certainly not. But that surprised me because if you stay, the difference between staying and getting the max and leaving and getting the max is like $80 million. If you leave, if you stay, you get 5 years, 220. If you leave, you get 4 years, 140. And he says he's willing to stay and get 5 years and something less than 220. I don't get that at all.
If you're that rich, is there really a difference in making another $80 million?
Yes.
I mean, I'd love to find out what that difference is.
Talk to any rich person. They'll tell you absolutely yes.
I still want to make that money.
No rich person has ever said, you know what, I want to make less money. It's just the more money you have, the more money you want. And I would say that's why I don't want money. But yeah, I'll take some money. We'd all like some money. I don't know. I just, it's one of those things where it would be cool to see Kemba Walker stay. And I'm sure there are a lot of Hornets fans in this area. You want them to stay because you want the little guys to have a chance. The NBA is all about the haves and the have-nots, whereas there's only like five teams generally that can win. But now you see Toronto, while it's a major market, they're not really like a a major market type team. They don't spend a lot of money. They're not a big free agent destination. And boom, Toronto is about to win the championship. You had Milwaukee, small market team, right there in the Final Four. A lot of people thought they were going to win the whole thing. Maybe Kemba Walker can stay there and get some help. Maybe get a good draft pick and build it over the next couple of years.
Story number three, we found out yesterday that Anthony Davis was really eyeing the Lakers. Apparently, the Celtics are still in the mix.
Okay, all right. It's something new every day. Can't keep up with this stuff. Does anybody actually know? I don't know. It just seems like people just report whatever, and like it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong anymore. Just keep reporting stuff. The news is gonna be he's definitely not going to the Lakers, and then he's going to the Knicks now, or he's going to the Nets. Who the hell knows? I don't know where he's going.
Pasta like, against the wall. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's all it is. And these people get paid for it. Woj, Adam Schefter, all these guys. What do they really know? They just say a bunch of stuff and hope it happens.
Do you think Schefter is even on his phone half the time?
Probably not.
He just pulls it out. He just pretends like he's on it and just makes something up.
Sure. He's probably playing Candy Crush or something. I don't know. I don't even know if that's still a thing. But I'm sure he's just playing Tetris or something on his phone. He's not actually working. Who knows? Nobody knows. The only people that know where they're going are the players. And half the time, they don't even know. So we'll see what happens with Anthony Davis. If I had to guess, I'd probably go with the Lakers because the Celtics have the trade assets, but I just don't see Danny Ainge giving up enough. Danny Ainge is one of those guys. He's so stubborn when it comes to trades. He never loses a trade, and that's why he's built up quite a roster, obviously. But where the Lakers, you have they're kind of a clown show over there, and I think they might give up a little bit more for Anthony Davis. And the Lakers also have something that the Celtics don't. They have the number 4 overall draft pick this year. So they could give up that number 4 pick. They could maybe give up a couple more first-round picks and possibly Kyle Kuzma. And I see him going to the Lakers and pairing with LeBron James. Makes sense as well because LeBron and Anthony Davis are under the same agent as well, Clutch Sports, under the same agency with Rich Paul. So if I had to guess, Diesel, I would pick the Los Angeles Lakers, and I would be wrong because I'm an idiot.
Story number 4, David Ortiz, according to his wife, is up and walking around.
Really?
How incredible is that?
He just got shot the other day.
Yeah, it's been 4 days.
Yeah.
Shot in the back.
Yeah, Kevin Durant, are you walking around yet? You just had a blown Achilles. Ortiz got shot, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They take pieces of intestine or gallbladder out? I mean, Ortiz went through a big ordeal.
Yeah.
Oh, The Ortiz ordeal. I'm already writing names for his book.
Yeah, I like that. I would read the Ortiz ordeal. It's a good book. Yeah. That's amazing that he's already walking after that, because we talked about it. You get shot in the back, in the lower back, and the bullet went through. Luckily, it went through, but it goes through the gut, and you don't want to get shot in the gut. That's probably the worst, besides the head, it's the worst place to get shot. So we're just happy to see him recovering. And I tell you something, Diesel. I've worked with a lot of athletes in my time. And there's just something about athletes that there's a will and a drive that they have that most people just don't have. You look at a guy like Ryan Shazier for the Steelers, where he's doing box jumps. The guy was paralyzed last year, and he's doing box jumps now. It's crazy. David Ortiz is probably going to recover and then say, you know what, I'm going to play for the Red Sox again and hit 40 home runs next year. Just a great story, great man. I clown on the city of Boston all the time, but I would never say anything bad about David Ortiz. He's one of the greatest people in sports, and we wish him a full recovery.
And story number 1, the bottle that Robbie Fabry was chugging last night after the championship win was a $1,200 bottle of Pappy Van Winkle.
Really?
Reserve Rye Kentucky Whiskey.
Chugging a $1,200 bottle of whiskey,
yeah.
Huh? Man.
I mean, I could get maybe a third of the way into it before I puked. I couldn't do it.
It's got to be really good whiskey, though, yeah. So maybe you can. I don't know. I've never had that opportunity.
It's a $400 mistake if you get a third of the way into it.
A $1,200 bottle of whiskey.
What's the most expensive alcohol you've ever drank?
Somebody bought. I've never paid for it. A Johnny Blue, probably.
Okay.
Or like somebody bought me like a $30 shot once of bourbon, and I don't even remember what the bourbon was called. And I literally, we had the shot. It was like I kind of sipped it. It was like a nice little shot, so I sipped it because you know it's an expensive bourbon. I want to enjoy it. didn't taste any better than any other bourbon I've ever had. It was kind of the same. So what about you?
Probably about, maybe about like $18 a shot.
Okay.
Bourbon.
Yeah.
But my my girlfriend, when she graduated college, her uncle came in. Uncle Jose, he's got a little bit of money. He was he was throwing some things around when he came into Greenville for the first time.
Yeah.
She ordered a $36 glass of wine, and he said, oh, watch this.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I want the most expensive whiskey you've got.
Yeah.
They bring him a $140 shot of whiskey.
Woo! Oh
my God. Didn't know that
until
he'd ordered three of them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's $500.
Yeah.
That's a, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a good thing he's got money.
How much, do you know how much Johnny Blue is a shot? I don't even know.
No clue.
I've never ordered Johnny Blue. I've only had it for free. I had it like, you know, at a party once. And well, it was great. There was just a really crappy bar in downtown St. Petersburg where I grew up that was closing because it sucked. It was a sports bar. It was just a terrible sports bar. The service sucked. The food sucked. It was a horrible experience. The two or three times that I went there. So obviously it's a bad bar. Nobody likes it. So they went out of business. So they decided to have like a going out of business sale. So they did one of those all you can drink things. You give them $15 and you can drink whatever's left in the bar. And I got a couple of drinks, whatever it was, a couple of bourbons. And then I saw that they had Johnny Blue. I'm like, wait a minute, I can just pay $15 and drink all the Johnny Walker Blue I want? And they're like, yeah, it's everything in the bar. So I was like, I think I had a bottle of Johnny Blue for $15. Quite a deal. There it is. Those are our five sides at five. Thank you very much, Diesel. Some of the other things going on in the sports universe. All right, coming up on the other side. Golden State will win game six tonight if they do this. What is it? We'll tell you next. Jeff Pantridge filling in for your boy, Mark Sturgis. Big Daddy Cool. Diesel on the ones and twos. Coming up later this hour, we'll give you three games that Clemson should be worried about next year. Also, we're going to talk some about U.S. Open next hour. I got a brand new segment we're going to debut. And got some NFL talk, some interesting NFL stories happening from mini camps around the country. We got lots of good stuff in the show coming up a little bit later. But right now, we will talk NBA Finals. It's finally here. It's been about 6 weeks since Game 5. It's just been so long. It seems like a month ago that KD blew out his Achilles. It seems like so long ago, but we finally have an actual game to preview tonight, Game 6 in the Oracle, which it's going to be rocking, man. I cannot wait. I'm hoping that it's not the wine and cheese San Francisco crowd. I hope it's the battery-chucking Oakland crowd. That is in attendance tonight. That's what I want to see. It's an NBA Finals game, so it might not be. But either way, it's the last game ever in the building.
So you want to see the fans embarrass themselves?
Of course I do. Yes. Yes. Yes, Diesel. Just like the
technical foul on the fans.
Yeah. Hey, the Toronto fans embarrassed themselves the other day when they were cheering KD getting hurt. Now it's time for Golden State's fans to start throwing batteries at the Raptors. That's the next step, right? No.
You have to retaliate.
Yeah, you have to.
Cannot let this injustice stand.
Eye for an eye, right? Come on. No, but I'm just hoping that the crowd will be into it. I'm thinking they will. I'm hoping that they're not too priced out. You know, I wish I had the story. I had it yesterday, Diesel, and somebody, you know how Steph Curry takes, you know how he like warms up? You ever seen him warm up before a game, do shoot around, and he takes his last shot from like the hallway? And then he takes his last shot from like the tunnel all the way. And he usually hits it. It's like a 60-foot shot. And it's kind of a ritual that he's done at Oracle for, you know, the last several years. It's kind of how he ends his shoot around. And it's a big deal there. So this is the last time he's ever going to be able to do it. It's the only, because the new arena that they're going to be in San Francisco isn't set up that way. So he's not going to be able to take this shot. So this is the last time he's ever going to be able to take this final shot in pregame warmups.
Scrap the building, tear it down, start again, let Steph have his final shot.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? the seats that are right near there, you're right there for that shot, those seats are going for $42,000.
Wow.
That's right. 42 grand. Just not, and these aren't even like courtside seats. Like you're not hanging out with Drake. You're kind of at the tunnel there because you're right there to see Steph take his last shot. It's like, who has that kind of money to just blow on a basketball game? It's just absolutely crazy to me. But yeah, I saw that they're going for $42,000. It's a big deal in Oaktown. A huge game tonight. They didn't think that they'd get this game. Think about it. Game 3 and 4, they got waxed. Toronto came in there and just punked them. They punked them out in their own building in Game 3 and Game 4. Looked like the series was probably going to be over in 5, but Golden State nutted up and they found a way to just barely win by 1 point and get the series back to Oracle. So how does Golden State win tonight? They're favored by 2.5. I would think Toronto should be favored by like maybe 1. I don't know. I mean, with Golden State being out. But the way Golden State wins is the way that they won Game 5. It's all about Steph, obviously, and it's all about Klay Thompson. They have to hit their threes. And that's a dangerous proposition. It's kind of when you play the kind of basketball that Golden State does, where you shoot almost sometimes more threes than twos. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's why Houston can never seem to really win the championship, because they go cold from three and they end up losing. Golden State, they were hot from three in Game 5. They were 20 of 42 from three-point land. Toronto in Game 5 was only 8 of 32. So Golden State, they hit 12 more three-pointers than Toronto in Game 5, Diesel, and they only won by 1 point. So what does that tell you? They're going to have to be perfect, basically, to win.
You can stop the three.
Yeah.
You can win this game, Toronto.
Yeah, exactly. That's, if you're Toronto, what you need to do is just do everything you can to shut Steph and Klay down and make somebody else beat you. Make Draymond shoot. Make Iguodala shoot. Make Livingston shoot. Make Cousins put the ball in Cousins' hands. Just keep the ball out of the shooter's hands. But even if Klay and Steph get a lot of shots off, there's no guarantee they're going to hit their shots. That's why this is going to be a challenge for Golden State tonight. I still think I'm picking them, but I don't feel real good about my pick, because when you look at it, you would think if Golden State hit 20 three-pointers in Game 5 and Toronto only hit 8, you think that they're probably going to regress to the mean both ways, where Golden State's not going to be quite as hot as they were, and Toronto isn't going to be quite as cold as they were, only hitting 25% of their threes. If they both kind of meet each other in the middle, then Golden State is going to have to find points elsewhere. And that's advantage Toronto right there. So Golden State is going to have to stay hot, and it's rare. It's rare that you stay hot shooting from long distance like that. So I think Golden State has their work cut out for them tonight. Another thing I'm really looking forward to in this game, Diesel, is the emotion factor. Do you believe, let me ask you this, Diesel, you're a big college sports fan, pro sports as well, but I think you probably like college sports more than pro, correct?
Yes.
How much of a factor would you say emotion plays into a sporting event?
When you're a professional, it shouldn't.
Yeah.
Regular season, it shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not regular season.
Yeah.
So I think the emotions have a big factor,
okay,
especially in the NBA Finals.
Sure,
I mean this is it. This is it. So, you know, I think they're going to come out and say that it's not going to be a factor. They're going to pretend that it's not going to be a factor, but it is.
I think it's going to be a factor too, and I think they're going to be charged up, because for all the reasons that we specified, because of they're playing for their fallen brother Kevin Durant, and it's the last game ever in the building. It's a big deal. This is going to be a special night in that city, a special night for that team. They are going, and I'm wondering if KD's going to do some kind of video message that if they did, that place would go nuts. Just do a quick thing, 10-second man. You know, give them strength, whatever. Strength the numbers. Say do it for the Gipper, whatever. And like that place would go bananas. And I think the players would really respond to it. That said, though, like sometimes This happens a lot in college sports, and it happens sometimes in pro sports too, where if you have if you play with too much emotion, you get drained, and that emotion either leaves after like the first quarter and you're worn out and you can't play the rest of the game. Or sometimes, man, there's just something like sometimes a tragic event happens to a team. And I'm not going to call Kevin Durant's event tragic. I think that's a little much. But like a lot of times you'll see like a team where maybe somebody dies or in some way or something happens. And then they fall flat because they just don't have any emotion left. They don't have any energy left. I think that's a possibility with Golden State as well. So which Golden State team are we going to get? And what wins tonight? Does emotion win or does logic win? Because logic tells me that the Toronto Raptors should win the game tonight. Logic tells me that they're a better team than Golden State. When you look at how they've thoroughly outplayed the Warriors throughout most of this series. If you look at how they've scored in quarters this year in the finals, Toronto has won 14 quarters. Golden State has only won 4 quarters. And one of those quarters that Golden State won was with Kevin Durant. So technically, this lineup has only won 3. They've only won 3 quarters. And there were 2 quarters where they tied. So Toronto has dominated this series. It's 3-2, but Toronto's owned Golden State. And so logic tells me that Toronto's a better team and they should win. But emotion tells me that Golden State is going to do it for KD. And they're going to find a way to, you know, scratch and claw and fight their way to another close victory and send it back to Toronto. What do you think? Who do you got tonight? I'd love to hear from you guys. You can hit us up on the phones. 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. You can also get us on our text line. 71307. Make sure you start your text off with ESPN. Diesel, go ahead.
And looking at the Twitter poll from earlier, you got tonight, Toronto or Golden State? 63% going with the Raptors.
Really?
Yeah. Mr. Golden State are the underdogs, and people are starting to come around and feel a little bit bad for them. No, they're not.
They're the underdogs.
No, they're not.
They're lovable underdogs.
No, they're not.
They're like Rudy. That
might be your worst take of the week.
Is it a bad take?
Being on the air.
Yeah, no, I think it's a strong take. I think they're a bigger underdog than the Team USA in 1980 was against the Russian. Come on, the little Golden State here. Little Golden State, they have no chance.
I don't even think you believe this.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, that's just like, I don't believe that. But I do believe that they're underdogs. I do believe that there is this sense out there that they've kind of become lovable. And they've kind of become underdogs because of the injuries, because of Durant. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. If you think I'm crazy, you think I'm dumb, you can always call me as well. And let me know. You can get us on the text line, too, at 71307. Diesel, let me ask you, who wins tonight? Who you got?
I think Golden State wins tonight. It's under 10 points.
Yep.
And then Game 7 goes back to Toronto. Oh, that's a toss-up. That's so hard.
I don't want to pick Game 7 because I want to wait until Game 7. Hopefully there's a Game 7. I'm rooting for Golden State. But I think I'm going to wait to pick Game 7. I think Golden State wins tonight, too. I think they win like by 1 point. I think it's going to be a super close game. It might even take a miracle. It might take a miracle shot from Steph or Clay, a three-pointer, like a buzzer beater, maybe overtime. I think Golden State finds a way to battles, and they win by the skin of their teeth tonight. And if you're Golden State, another thing you got to do, if I'm the Golden State Warriors, I talked about if Toronto needs to shut down Steph and Clay and try to make everyone else beat you. If you're Golden State, you got to shut down Kawhi. I'm shutting down Kawhi Leonard. They did a great job at the end of Game 5 when Kawhi had the ball in his hands with a chance to win the game. Iguodala came up and doubled him. They're going to need to do everything they can to get Kawhi to give up the basketball. And I'll take my chances with Kyle Lowry all day. Kyle Lowry in the playoffs? Yeah, I'll take my chances there. I'll take my chances with Siakam or any of these guys. Marc Gasol. I want them to be beat me. I'm not going to let Kawhi Leonard beat me. I don't care if you got to double him and you got to leave a man open. I'd rather go up against an open man than Kawhi that's covered, because Kawhi is he's a warrior killer, man. He's got this team. He's played well against him when he was with San Antonio, and he's been playing pretty damn well in this series too. And I think Golden State has to find a way to stop him, to limit his ability to score the basketball, get the ball out of his hands, and I think they're going to be in good shape. Either way, man, I'm so excited for tonight. It's finally here, and I think Golden State finds a way to win.
Well, you just better make sure you don't take too much of advantage of the free alcohol.
Yeah, that's the
and
thing.
And that you miss the tip-off.
Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, I definitely don't want to do that. So yeah, I'm going to go out there. Go out in downtown Greenfield tonight. Just going to have a couple, hang out with Mark Ryan and all of his groupies, and just, you know, and just maybe have a couple beers. And then, good thing about this is last night, you know, the hockey game started at like 8. Basketball, they take forever, man, especially in when the game is in Oakland. So the game's probably not going to start till 9:30. So I'll go out and have a couple of pops downtown at the, what's it called, Greenville Alive?
Downtown Alive.
Downtown Alive, yeah. So go downtown Greenville, downtown Alive, have a couple of pops, watch some music, maybe, you know, grab some food, and then I'll get home at a nice responsible hour, get home by 9:30, boom. I got game 6 ready and raring to go.
Well, you got your night all planned out.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Bubble bath at halftime too, right?
Of course of course I'm having a bubble bath. How'd you know? Yeah, of course I'm having a bubble bath at halftime. Yeah, I'm surprised, and I'm surprised Sturge doesn't have like a 65-inch TV like in his bathroom.
I'm sure it's coming.
Yeah, it is coming. I wouldn't doubt it.
And he'll complain about it on air for months about how much of a pain in the butt it is to get it in there.
His bathroom is bigger than any apartment I've ever had. It's like, you know, like, it's crazy. He's got like his master bathroom is just, it's magnificent. It's just one of the most wonderful things I've ever seen. Like, he needs to get a 65-inch like OLED TV in there so you can, you know, take bubble baths and watch basketball. It'd be great. Love it. All right, coming up on the other side, we are going to stick with the NBA conversation. Let me ask you this. Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you why one NBA team is going to make a huge mistake this offseason. We'll tell you that next. Little Helmet, Diesel, I like this one. Yeah. Rocking the tunes here on ESPN Upstate. Jeff Pantridge, you can call me Pants. Big Daddy Cool Diesel, kicking it with you guys until 7 o'clock this evening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, at Pants Party Radio, at Diesel on Radio, and at ESPN Upstate, where we ask you who you got tonight. Hashtag straight up. Toronto or Golden State? Right now, Toronto leading with 62% of the vote over my lovable underdog, Golden State Warriors. I'm picking Golden State. I think they win tonight, barely. I think Golden State wins by maybe 1 or 2 this evening. Somebody is not going to win next year. And that somebody is whoever signs KD. Love Kevin Durant. I want to see him get a max deal somewhere. I think he deserves it. I think he kind of got screwed. But if he decides to test the free agent waters and sign with somebody else, they're not going to get their money's worth. Think about this: the max deal for a free agent is 4 years, $140 million. Year one, 33 something million, whatever it is. Year one, he's not even going to play. So now you're paying $140 million for 3 years of basketball, Diesel. And with an injury like this, as significant as an Achilles tear, year two, he's not going to be back to what he was either. Like, a lot of times in football, they say like the ACL is a 2-year injury. Achilles, same thing, and it might even be worse. It's a 2-year injury where he's never going to be the same. He's never going to be what he was before this original injury happened last month. But I think even in year two, he's going to struggle to get back to being even 80% of what he was. You look at other examples. Gordon Hayward with the Celtics this year, he came back and he was bad this year. It takes at least a couple years.
And back to your first point there, if KD was the kind of guy who could be a cheerleader and the face of a franchise for that first year, you could still get value out of that $33 million of him not playing basketball.
Yes.
But he's not.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of guy he is. So you're going to get nothing out of him.
Absolutely.
He's going to stay in his mansion.
Mm-hmm.
He's barely going to show up. He's not going to be on TV out there, you know, beating the drum for whatever team he goes to.
Nope.
It's $33 million down the toilet.
Yeah. That's a really good point. That's a very good point. Yeah, and he's going to be doing his rehab. Like he hasn't even been on the bench for Golden State yet since he got hurt a month ago. He's been doing his own thing, and I'm assuming he's not going to be on the bench tonight. He's probably still in New York. He just had surgery. Yeah, he's still in New York. So there's no way he's going to be at Oracle tonight, and I don't see him going to Toronto for Game 7 to be on the bench. That's not what he does, and that's fine. I'm not going to hate on him for that, but that's a really good point that you raised, that he is not going to be that guy. He's going to be persona non grata. He's just going to be out of the building. You're not going to see him for a year. You're going to know you have him at some point, but you're not going to see him. Plus, like, who's going to want to pair with him now? Like, a lot of these guys, obviously, now they're all friends and they text each other. They call each other and say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we played together? Like, if I'm Kyrie Irving or if I'm Kemba Walker or Kawhi Leonard, one of these other free agents, like, are you going to bet on the guy with the torn Achilles or are you going to bet on a guy that's healthy?
And you're going to be on your own for a year, wherever
exactly.
you go.
Yeah. So that's another thing, too. So you're not going to be as good. Like, say Kyrie, let's say they both go to the Nets. So Kyrie goes this year, and the Nets are just okay with Kyrie. They're not going to be great. They're not going to get to the finals by any means with just Kyrie Irving and what they have now. So you got to wait another year. Maybe if you're like somebody like the Knicks, maybe you could use it to your benefit because you could effectively tank for a year and hopefully get a big-time draft pick the next year. But now tanking's kind of out the window, too, because they changed the percentages, where even if you have the worst record in the league, you only have a 14% chance of getting the first pick. That happened this year where New Orleans came out of nowhere and got Zion, or will probably end up getting Zion Williamson because they won the first pick. So I'm very interested to see if a team is, because somebody is going to step up. He is going to get a max deal, whether it's with Golden State or with another team. He's going to get paid. And if I'm another team, I don't do it. I do not pull the trigger. I'm not betting on the unknown, especially when you're only getting him really for two out of those 4 years. The third year, you're getting half of what he was. And then the first year, you get nothing. The second year, you probably get 70%, maybe, if you're lucky, of KD. Third year, you maybe get 80. Fourth year, 85. You're never going to get 100. I just don't think it's worth it if you're another team. That being said, though, if you were listening, I think, on Tuesday, I did mention that I think Golden State should sign KD to the max. And while that might sound contradictory to what I was saying before, I think they owe it to him. I think it's one of those things where it's a PR thing more than anything, and I think they're kind of painting themselves in their corner where they would look really bad if they didn't give him the max. And I think he should ask for it. Another thing, Diesel, I think you're going to find this very interesting. I read this today. So an NBA executive told CBS Sports this. Quote, I think Bob Myers, and of course that's the team president, I would think Bob Myers gave Durant's business partner and manager, Rich Kleiman, some kind of assurance. If KD plays in Game 5 and the rest of the series, regardless, they're going to max him out and give him the contract. So and it goes on to say, translation, the Warriors knew it was a risk to put Durant back out there. So did Durant, who obviously didn't feel ready to return through the first four games of the series. And then there were even reports that his attempt to go through practice on Sunday didn't go well, and he was shut down pretty early. So, Diesel, what are your thoughts on the possibility that Golden State and Kevin Durant and his agent got together and said, KD, we know you're not ready to go, but we're going to pay you. If something happens, we're even worst case scenario, you blow an Achilles, we're going to give you the Supermax deal. We're going to pay you $220 million. Do you think that's a possibility? I think it could be.
Well, especially with this conspiracy theory of, you know, your Achilles is going to tear eventually. Yeah. So you might as well just go ahead and go out there and do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to say.
I think it's a possibility. And that's what this guy's saying. And an NBA executive told CBS Sports. I think that is an absolute possibility that could have happened. Because a lot of people think it was the Achilles the whole time and the calf thing was all made up. It was never an issue. And if you already have a partially torn Achilles, it's going to go at some point. So, hey, maybe we talked about this the other day. Maybe we can play through. Maybe it won't pop. And just having him out there will help them win. And it did for that quarter when he was out there. They were great. And they were back to being Golden State. And unfortunately, the Achilles popped. If you want to weigh in on that, you can. Also, though, coming up next, we are going to talk some college football. Right now, I'm counting three games on Clemson's football schedule that they should be a little bit worried about. What are they? We'll tell you next. Diesel, I wonder what my mic is. My microphone on?
It's on.
Oh, okay. Oh, there it is. All right. I had to shorten the headphones again. Huh. I was like, I couldn't hear myself. Diesel, I wonder what the countdown is for days until college football. It's got to be like probably, and there's no way to Google it or whatever. It doesn't matter. But it's like, I bet it's probably less than 75 days. Lessons, let's see, Clemson, I could probably do it in my head.
72 days.
72 days until college football. That's 10 weeks. That's not that bad. It's going to be here before we know it, guys. 72 days, that's doable. It's a little over 2 months. All right. And Clemson opens up against Georgia Tech on a Thursday night game this year. That's kind of odd that they're not opening up with a cupcake. They got an ACC test right away. This year, Georgia Tech and Clemson at home, they'll be, you know, doing their, you know, national championship celebration. Should be an interesting night. It's in August, Thursday, August 29th. But I wanted to talk a little Clemson football here. And I was kind of looking at their schedule. And I saw three games that kind of stuck out to me that Clemson should be a little bit worried about. And they're going to be favored in every one of their games. It's no question. The college football hasn't changed much since last year. It's Clemson and Alabama up here and then everybody else down there. And when it comes to the ACC, it's definitely Clemson way up here and everybody else down there. I don't think there's anybody even remotely that even remotely has the ability to challenge them this year in the ACC. That being said, though, Diesel, I still think they're vulnerable. They're human beings. They can lose. And I got a couple of games that I think I'm just going to go through. I got a couple of games where I think that they absolutely can lose. I want to get your take on it. I think the second week of the season hosting Texas A&M, that's a game where, you know, they'll probably be 14-point favorites, 14 to 17-point favorites. But Texas A&M played them very well last year. And I know this was Kelly Bryant Clemson and not Trevor Lawrence Clemson. That being said, though, Jimbo Fisher knows this team. He played them every year when he was with Florida State. And I think Texas A&M, I think that's a game that they're going to have to, that they might have to worry about a little bit.
And those A&M fans can't get liquored up in the stadium.
That's true.
For the game.
Yeah, that's got to hurt the fans. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good point. What about this one? What about Syracuse in week three? They've struggled with Syracuse the last 2 years, and they've got to go up to the Carrier Dome again.
Isn't it weird how a team that's on paper that much better can for some reason struggle with a team?
It's crazy.
Even if, you know, and Syracuse not running some exotic funky offense that you don't ever see.
Nope.
It's not Georgia Tech. Think you'd have, if you're going to have an issue with anybody, it'd be Georgia Tech.
You would think so.
You never see the triple option anywhere else.
But what's the common denominator? The last two times that they've played Syracuse, 2 years ago up in Syracuse in the Carrier Dome, last year in Death Valley. Well, do you remember what was the common denominator in both games besides being close games? The common denominator was the quarterback got hurt in both games. The quarter. Remember, Bryant got hurt in Syracuse, and then Lawrence got hurt last year. Lawrence got concussed last year, so maybe that's the reason that Syracuse hung. But Dino Babers is a great coach, and he gets those kids ready for that game every year. So until I see otherwise, that's a game you have to worry about if you're the Clemson Tigers. You got to worry about that Syracuse game. That might be the scariest game on the schedule. And the third game that I'm worried about more than all others is the rivalry game at the end of the year between Clemson and South Carolina. You got to go on the road. And Diesel, anytime you go on the road for a rivalry game, you have the ability to get beat. And it's obviously going to be a hostile environment, and the records and stats and all that stuff goes out the window when it's a rivalry game. And so I think those three games where I'm not going to pick, right now I wouldn't pick any of those three teams to beat Clemson. I think Clemson is far and away better than all three of those teams. That said, I think those are the three games that I would kind of worry about. If I'm a Clemson fan. And if you guys want to talk about it, or if there are any games on the schedule that you are concerned about, you can get us on the phones as well. 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. Are there any scare games out there? Are any games that concern you? I'd love to hear from you guys. Just to me, like looking at the other games, Georgia Tech, first game of the year. I just don't see them losing that one. You got, what do you got? Charlotte? No. North Carolina on the road? No. Florida State at home? No, it's at home. I'm not worried about that. And Florida State's down at this point. Louisville on the road? No. They don't have Lamar Jackson. Louisville without Lamar Jackson is not nothing. Boston College at home? No, that doesn't scare me. Wofford, sorry, we love Wofford, but Wofford at home, that's obviously not going to be a scary matchup for Clemson. I would say that NC State on the road would be a scary game, but they lost Finley. I mean, they're going to have a freshman quarterback most likely, or a sophomore back there, so I don't see that. Wake sucks. And then South Carolina is a game that I do believe they could have problems with. I'd love to hear from you guys. If you think Clemson will have a problem with any of these games, you can hit us up on the phones. Coming up next, though, we're going to preview the U.S. Open. Can Tiger Woods get it done for major number 16? We'll tell you next.